Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Hear the book, hear from the book of the practical wisdom of God. From one who was called the wisest man in the world, from the God who is all wise. Proverbs 28. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain, which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. He that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. Proverbs 28, the wisdom of God. And for our sermon this morning, beloved, I want to draw your attention to Proverbs 28 and 19 and 20, but we'll read that presently. I want to say that what we're going to be considering this morning in our exposition and declaration of the fundamentals of the faith is the eighth commandment of God, thou shalt not steal. This is a commandment of course, which declares the truth with respect to the property of our neighbor and of ourselves, and the truth that we are forbidden to take for ourselves what belongs to our neighbor. And the Heidelberg Catechism explains the Eighth Commandment with regard to what's forbidden and also with regard to what is required by it. But now, I want to reflect upon these things. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, children. That's the commandment, thou shalt not steal, for our wisdom. We've been considering that all along here. As we consider how to live thankfully in this life, it takes wisdom. We don't have that in ourselves. We need that from heaven. We want to discern the truth then of this law of God practically, so that our feet on the ground, we can act as those who are getting it, who are those who are beginning to understand what God requires and beginning to walk in the commandments, however imperfectly. Now, that will mean, I want to suggest to you, that we will be, with regard to the eighth commandment, tillers. That's what Proverbs tells us. And now I'll read the text here. Proverbs 28 and 19 and 20. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. And then I believe this same tiller is this faithful man who shall abound with blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. What I want to do, beloved, with you this morning is to see the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, in light of a window. There's another aspect of things here, other than the eighth commandment, that concerns the substance of the eighth commandment. Regards sins like stealing from the neighbor, and our all-consuming love of money and hasting after riches, as the proverb speaks of, that leads to such stealing. Want to do this for a blessing. Want to consider the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, for a blessing. And indeed for our own tilling in our own land, that we be kept from stealing, not only, but so that we can honor God with all our substance and God's people and the neighbor whom we would love for God's sake. And so to be men of integrity and women of integrity, and children and young people of honesty and uprightness with regard to our things, so that we can be that and not thieves. Let's consider the eighth commandment under the theme, the tiller and the thieves. Really, this sermon is a kind of a story. I want to use the figure of speech here that the proverbist Liz uses, or he paints for us this picture of a farmer. And I want to speak to you in a kind of a parable, because I think that's what the proverbist is getting at here. The tiller is a graced tiller. Now, first of all, it's referring to a farmer. That's what this is, children. This is a farmer here. He tills the land, and pretty soon that's what's going to be happening, even in Michigan, as the farmers get ready to plant the crops. They till the land. But I want to suggest to you here that this tiller is more than a farmer. He can be more than a tiller of the land. He may be referring to a tiller of the soul. That would be a minister, wouldn't it? He sows things spiritual. He tills the ground of the church and so on. Maybe it's a businessman, though. Maybe it's a bricklayer or a painter or one who works with his hands in another way. Maybe he works with cars and maybe is a truck driver. Maybe she's a nurse, this tiller, or a teacher, or someone who helps the downcast and the downtrodden at some mission. Maybe it's a secretary, a waitress, a student, a child just beginning to know himself and God. Now, children, this is what I want to say is for you. These tillers here aren't just the farmer with the big hands and the brawn, but they can be children as well and families together as they till the land together. So there's all kinds of tillers, but the most important thing to remember about this right now in this first point here is these are graced tillers. These are wise men, wise women, wise children. He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread. He's compared and contrasted with vain persons here in Proverbs 28:19. Those are empty persons who haste after riches and they find out they have nothing in the end. But these tillers then are not only graced of God, but they're blessed of God in the tilling of their land. And they're saved, you see, and they're sanctified. And also now, and this is so basic to our Christianity, with regard to things on this earth. You see, as Christians, we're those who are taken to God and graced to be in the fellowship with Him. But this proverbist reminds us that we're on the earth too. And there's tilling to do. We till the land. That's not a spiritual land. That's this terra firma, this land that is given to us. And I want to bring out to you in this window on the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, that tillers are the ones who know all about the prohibitions and the requirements and the motivations for keeping the eighth commandment. Just some things that we know, first of all. These are principles behind the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have respect to your neighbor's property. You shall till your land. First of all, the first principle of the eighth commandment is that we know the Lord and that He owns all things. That's the first principle of the eighth commandment. With regard to our consideration of the neighbor's things and our temptation maybe to take them, with regard to our own things, we say this, hold it, as it were, as we're thinking earthly minded and thinking that we are the ones who own things and so on. God owns everything. God owns everything. Now, we sang a versification of that in Psalm 50, which says that every beast of the forest is God's, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, and all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field. They're all His. And we know this too. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And the psalmist in Psalm 24 gives us the reason. Because God has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. First principle, considering property. Whose is it? God's. The graced person, the person who loves the Lord, knows the Lord, is the owner of everything. That's so important. We've been considering in our commandments that to walk on this earth, we must be theological. That is, thinking of God. Not only with regard to the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods, but with regard to the eighth. With regard to these things of the earth, remember whose they are. They are God's. And so this is primary here. And especially because we are loved of God and we love God back, we want to show off we're getting that. So we're not going here into crass and rude and mundane and earthly and dirty things when we talk about tilling the land. Not only we're talking about theological things. For Christianity on our ground, this commandment comes in our stealing day. And so that's the first thing. The tiller knows the Lord and that the Lord owns everything. 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 But now, the second thing we know is that we are and are called to be a steward of the things that are given to us. That's a second principle. A steward is one who receives a certain trust from a boss, an owner, a king, or whatever. And that trust is, use whatever I give you for my goodwill, for my will to do my thing and to advance my property, to take care of it, and to give an increase to it. That's what a steward did. When Joseph was made steward in Potiphar's house, steward of all he had, it was for Potiphar's sake that Joseph was given these things and this trust and all of the position that he had. So it is with us. And the Christian knows that. The Lord has given him to be a tiller of the dirt, to be a creature of the dust, so that we can use that dust, whatever land we're given, for God's sake, on God's behalf. Think of that. Yes, we're given this property, but it's really not ours, it's God's. And so we're stewards of it for a time while we are on earth. And that property, until the proverb speaks of land here, it could be 80 acres of sandy loam in northwest Iowa. It could be that that's the land we're given. That's what we're called to till. But it also could be everything about us. And I want to say that that's what it is. It could be that the psalmist, and it is that the proverbist, is referring to who we are. You are a steward of who you are, who God has made you. Use who you are for God's sake. You have talents. Use the talents, children. Young people, develop in your mind. Learn your chemistry. Learn your history, your English, your reading, writing, arithmetic, and righteousness. There's four R's in education. For God's sake. God's sake. That's the focus, you see. All the gifts we have, the situation in life. Are you older? There's a position there. An opportunity to serve the Lord. You're younger? Full of vigor and the vitality of youth, use your strength to serve the Lord. You have talents, and there are so many people in this congregation with so many various and wonderful talents. It's amazing. Well, the call here is in the 8th commandment, use them for the Lord. Maybe you're given these things at birth. Maybe you're given an inheritance. Maybe you have land and possessions and all of these things. Whatever you have, all your stuff that you put in your closet, under your bed, in your bank, that's a gift for God's sake. That's the second principle here. We know God, the wise man who tills his land, knows it's God's land. It's not as the song goes. This land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you and me. It's really God's land, isn't it? God's land that we're given and we're stewards. And you see, the 8th commandment then is not just kind of a neutral thing. Just sit there on the land. You till the land. You see, we're not just tenants or squatters on our land. We're stewards. We have work to do on our land. We have responsibility to be those who are doing what God wants in our place in the kingdom. Now, that's not surprising then that, and I read this in a commentary, that 1/6, one out of every 6 verses in the Gospels of the New Testament deal with the subject of stewardship. Isn't that amazing? Those who are interested in not stealing, but in being stewards and users of what God gives for His kingdom, are those who read their New Testament and say, wow, we are called to occupy this land, to till this land until the Savior come. We are called to take our talents and not bury them. We are called to be God's people because God's is the kingdom and God will get the glory on this earth and in heaven and by angels and by those with dirty fingernails and whose minds are all abuzz with all their thinking that they do all day long and then they drop off to bed. Well, so here we are. And here is practical Christianity, beloved. You see, it's not about just avoiding things that makes us spiritual, renouncing things. It's certainly not about rushing after things as the vain man does, making haste to be rich. But it's about being a steward, a wise possessor for a time of things for God's sake. Okay, so God, He owns all things. He makes us to be stewards. And now, with regard to the neighbor, we know what belongs to others. That's very important. Children have to learn that, don't they? Children, do you know what belongs to your sister and your brother? Mom and Dad make that clear? Usually not a good thing if you touch that thing or take that thing or break that thing. We know what belongs to others. That's important for us who grow up too and who are interacting with other people. We know what belongs to them, and we would love them and respect them and their property. That's at the heart of this commandment here. We know the limits of our wealth, the boundaries of our land, and we're careful not to overstep those boundaries and to misuse our talents to steal from the neighbor. So this is the knowledge that a wise tiller of the land has. That's the story here. That's the gospel story of this Proverbs. Here's a window on the eighth commandment. Till the land. Be busy being stewards of the place that God gives you. And you're going to know then how to deal with a neighbor and his land. Because you're God-centered and you love God. Now, the sad story is of stealing. And the eighth commandment is written on the backdrop of the sad story. Stealers. Thieves. We're all thieves and robbers. A woman I know, a wonderful woman, went to their house and mourning ministers at large. She even had this to say of ministers, "Oh, they're a bunch of horse thieves." It's amazing how much you have to take as a minister. She said it in jest, but we can be thieves too. Thieves, not just horse thieves, soul thieves. But that's a sad story, not just in the church, but all over the world. Fallen man's a thief. Fallen man is not theological, but me-ological. It's all about me. That's fallen man. And then you know it's going to be with regard to the stuff of the earth that he shows that he's the king and that everyone else doesn't belong on the top of his mountain and has to be pushed off and all of this. And so with time, with talents, with money, it's all about self for the sinner. And with regard to the property of others, well, it's fair game. And should he desire it, it's fair game because he has his right to this. And as the Catechism reminds us in the Lord's Day 42, there's many forms of this sin. There's been many forms of kinds of thievery and robbery, subtle or violent, throughout the history of commerce, of neighborliness, of boundaries to land and all this stuff. Well, beloved, here we are among the thieves. And we ourselves are prone to this, I say. Good rule of thumb, beloved, is this. If you haven't bought it, earned it, been given it, or inherited it, it belongs to someone else and there should stay. If you haven't bought it, earned it, been given it, or inherited it, hands off. Sadly, fallen man, and we by nature, we don't listen to that. Stealing, beloved, just some of the forms, is stealing another person's property. Students, you know you can steal when you borrow from Wikipedia or whatever else the words and even the ideas without acknowledging the other person from whom you're borrowing them. That's called plagiarism. You steal ideas and words and thoughts from people and you say, well, these are mine. I'm this original thinker or writer. Plagiarizing is a problem. But you know, it may very well be that when God through Moses penned the eighth commandment, he also had regard to the person that somebody might steal. Persons. Thou shalt not steal men, women, children. In fact, one of the words for stealing a man thief is a plagiarist. Not just plagiarism of writing, but stealing people has been prohibited by this commandment. And the Bible, even in the New Testament, speaks of men stealing. But that's just one form of this, beloved. And that I would present to you is grounds for forbidding slavery and the buying and stealing of people from their families and from their lands. Well, employees not working hard, not tilling on behalf of your boss, that's thievery. Not spending the time that you should, instead taking coffee break, smoke break after smoke break out in the back, or using the time you have to go on an errand to go to the coffee shop instead. So, you see, there's ways of not tilling that don't have to do with stealing from the till or the cash register. All kinds of subtle ways. Employers can steal as well. You steal the honor of a person. You tempt him to steal by not paying a fair wage. See how this happens all the time. People also as well steal when they use money foolishly, charging something that you don't have any money to pay or any intention of paying. And I'm not saying all borrowing is wrong, but when it is obvious that you're never going to be able to pay it, charging it, that's sin. That's robbery. That's thievery. Running up a huge debt you cannot pay or intend to pay, borrowing money with no intent to pay when or pay it back whenever you feel like it. No. What does the Bible say? To you thieves, owe no man anything but to love. And again, not prohibiting, excuse me, all borrowing, but the borrowing that's over the top, and that is unresponsible and unreasonable. Well, gambling, I have to deal with that. Beloved, we have to deal with that, even in the church. I hope it's not a problem with you. You know that more than half of Americans spend more money on gambling than on groceries? That's some figure that somebody's researched, and I believe that. How many times you go to the store or the checkout counter and there's all these lottery tickets and so on? Beloved, the worst thing about this, it denies the sovereignty of God, who so rules all things and provides in the way of work and tilling his land. Last I knew, beloved, tilling the land was work. And he that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, not he that would get rich quick, he that hasteth after riches. He shall not be innocent. So beware of that. There's all kinds of get rich quick schemes. People putting their trust in raffles, even for a good cause. They put their trust in these things. People wanting easy money and on and on and on. So we have this form in our society. We have the form, having a scene of grandparents gallivanting all over the world, spending your children's and their grandchildren's inheritance. And they flaunt that on the bumper sticker. I'm spending my children's inheritance, and refusing to think that they, in their position, could help out the Church of Christ. And of course, who would begrudge grandparents a vacation and time off that they've earned and so on? But this gallivanting around the country and thinking they have no use or for the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God owes them something, is stealing. So we have that. But sadly, in our country, we have the government, which can steal and which in some ways does. Like when it plays Robin Hood. You know, the government can play Robin Hood, robbing from the rich to give to the poor with an unjust income tax. These are ways of stealing from people who have earned their money by tilling their land. Citizens, too, can rob from the government by not declaring their income, not paying their taxes. As Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And so all of this is the land we live in, the atmosphere we live in, and reasons being because the devil, you see, has stolen the hearts of men. The devil has distorted the perception of things so that things become most important. And there's no satisfaction except in things, people think. And so not far from this is satisfaction in the other person's things. And then the deed of, by hook and by crook, stealing the things of others. The graced tiller man, beloved, can only weep at all the stealing, at his own getting ripped off, whether it's his identity stolen or his purse, and at his and her own stealing nature and deeds. Beloved, is this a great grief to you? The wise man, the wise tiller man, is supposed to till his land. How often we steal from the neighbor. How terrible we are at using our time wisely, and using our talents to promote the glory of God instead of our own glory. Isn't that our terrible sin? Sinners, let us weep and let us grieve, and then let us be tilling. That's the practical part of this here. We know certain things. We're in this land of thieves. We know that God owns all things. We're stewards, and the neighbor's property is to be honored. Now we're to till. And that's the second point, beloved. We till. The tiller, graced man, is faithful to God in tilling his land. And that has to do with time, for one thing. Just some practical points here. Time. In all of our life, beloved, we're a tiller of the land, tilling time. Ever think of that? The Bible in Ephesians 6 says we are to redeem the time in these evil days. You have a lot of time on your hands, don't you? Or time is yours anyway, however you spend it. We're to make hay, beloved, while the sun shines. And we're to make the most of this time in all of our days, because the Bible says we live in evil days. We are to do everything to promote the productivity of our land, to be those who are busy. Time is a great commodity. It is a most valuable thing for us, and yet we abuse it. We don't see it as important as it is. It's a time. Till the land with your time. Second, we use our talents. We use them. We develop them. Now, here is a practical thing. Some of you have many talents. Not all of your talents will you be able to develop. Or will you develop because it won't be so wise of you to develop them? Now, here's what I mean. The world wants you to be talented and to promote your talent in certain ways, and even to the destruction of your soul. Anyone here have the ability to go to Carnegie Hall, playing the piano, for example? That's a place in New York City where the talented people go. Anyone have a child who has talents and could have potential to go a long way in this world? Maybe to be the strongest boy in the world or whatever it is. Anyone have a talent like that or know somebody who does? Beware. Not all of our talents we are to develop to the full that the world wants us to. We have to be careful here and be wise with regard to our talents and the time that we have to put into it. And who are we serving and so on? I know someone who was prevented by her own conscience from going to Carnegie Hall because it was too much time. There were too many people with whom she would fraternize, and it would compromise her soul even while she was tickling the ivories and getting the acclaim of men. Let us be careful. Tilling the land is not tilling as the neighbor does, as a fool to get rich and to be seen. It's not self-service, but service for the king. So time and talents and treasures too, beloved. Treasures are to be used, whether 2 bits or $2 billion, for the cause of God and his people. Now, having said that, with regard to other people, we are to keep ourselves, of course, from robbing them. But as the Catechism reminds us, we're to promote the advantage of our neighbor. Promote the advantage of your neighbor. That is, love him. Have a regard, yes, for the neighbor. Look over the fence, but not to envy his field, but to see how he's doing. And even as the Catechism reminds us and the proverb tells us, give to the poor. Have enough to give to the poor, to those who don't have. So it's the opposite of stealing. You're giving to this one, and you're promoting his advantage for the glory of God. Now, just practical things in the end of this practical point about how. people of God, there's first things in all our tilling land. All our tilling land, and with regard to stuff, with regard to neighbor's stuff. And the first thing always for a child of God is sowing and tilling to the Spirit. The first thing always for the child of God is this land called the Kingdom of Heaven. And this is the land we're most concerned in, our place in the Church of Christ. We're concerned here not to rob God of tithes and offerings, but to give to the cause of Christ, so that the ox is not muzzled, but he who works by the gospel lives of the gospel, that so that the minister can be supported. And this is, beloved, all about the cause of God and not a man. So that the church thrives in all of our doing, in all of our getting, in all of our gaining, in all of our thinking, in all of our praying. That's the first point. Oh, how we miss this. And when we think of dirt, and when we think of tilling the land, and tomorrow we go back into the fields and back into the shop, we can lose this perspective. Beloved, till the land and remember that every square inch belongs to God. And we, wherever we are, must go in the name of the King and declare that the Kingdom of Heaven has come. You must be gospelers, spiritually minded, as we're dealing with the things of this earth and the neighbor. And therefore, when we bring the neighbor bread and we don't steal, we give to him, we bring him the gospel. We bring him the truth as it is in Jesus, the only truth that can save. And so, beloved, we do this by the book, sow to the Spirit, by the book that tells me of the wisdom that I need to be in this earth and not to rob God or to rob the neighbor. We know to be praying. Here's another important thing, though. We trust and wait on the Lord. How important. You till the land, that means wait. Look at that. A farmer is brought here forth as someone who will be blessed with regard to things of this earth. A farmer who must wait. A farmer who doesn't know what the weather will bring, or the hail, or the damage that will cause to the crop just about to be harvested. We have to wait, farmers, and all of us too. And we're not good at that, are we? It takes us to be on our knees. It takes us to have this spiritual power to pause and not to rush after riches. And this store has a sale, so we're going to get it now, even though we don't have the money. And on and on and on the temptations are. But beloved, it's worth it. It's all worth the waiting, isn't it? Because as the Proverbist tells us, faithful man shall bound in blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Word on this, and I leave you go. Proverbs promises the faithful tiller, the one who doesn't steal, but is a good steward, to abound with blessings. He shall be blessed then. The question is how? That's important for us to know this in the midst of thieves. In this life, the takers seem to win, don't they? The ones who are working 7 days a week, just about 24/7. They seem to be winning, don't they? And they take from us even. They steal our reputation. They steal our friends. They steal our identity. They steal our goods. They seem unstoppable. And our lives don't seem to amount to much so often. And every time we get something, we are reminded that it's not our own, and we feel guilty about it and so on. That's not right either. But it's hard work, isn't it? To remain still focused on this furrow, this acreage that we have, and plowing the ground. It doesn't seem like so much, but wait! The Bible says he shall be blessed. He shall abound with blessings, not just have a few. What does that mean, beloved? Well, what is blessing? Blessing is life with God. That's what it is. Blessing is where in your land, and when in your land, God takes over and God is with you and God is in your field, God is in your house, God is in your marriage, God is in your singleness, God is with you as children, and God is at your work. And that's all that matters. So, you might not have all that the neighbor has, but you have peace with God. And you have the love of God in your heart. And you have this thankfulness. That's work, beloved. This thankfulness. Because you know what? God is the first tiller of the land. And that's why, that's our motivation for this whole thing. Why we're being stewards. Why we don't steal. We're stewards. God is the faithful tiller of the land. You know that. That's Jesus. Long time ago, children, about 2,000 years ago, God came to this land. He did. And God came and He did something. He tilled this land. He tilled, He taught, He suffered even unto death. He tilled this land with His blood. He shed His blood in this field, our world. And now this one who died for us and our sinners, our thieving sins, is risen. And He sends the Spirit now and causes us to be born again. Now, beloved, you're born again. You're born again and you abound. Don't steal. Live and give. As God's tillers of the land, right where God puts you, until the kingdom come. Amen. Our Lord in heaven, we ask your help that we can hear now what you would have us hear about being tillers of the land, faithful, going forward, straight furrows, righteously, gracefully. And Lord, minding our business, but also the neighbors, so that we can help the neighbor to your glory, Lord. You've given us a place in your kingdom. It's a kingdom land. We have work to do while we have breath. Even if it be tilling on our knees and that's all we can do is pray, Lord, that's good work. And we thank you, Lord, that whatever the increase, earthly wise, you are there and you're blessing us. And you're giving us to taste and see just how good you are, how graceful, how loving in Jesus. Lord, we pray, dismiss us with thy favor. Thanks for making us your stewards. Give us the grace to carry on for Christ's sake. Amen.